Today's daf is daf Chaf Hei. So let's take it from the very top line of Chaf Hei, the last word, V'amar Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Shachach v'nichnas betfilin. A guy, let's say, forgot he's wearing tefillin. You know, it's not hard for us to imagine this, but he used to wear tefillin all day long. So the guy goes to the bathroom not realizing he's wearing tefillin. So Shachach v'nichnas betfilin, the Beis HaKisei. What he should do is, Meniach yada alen, ad shigmor. So he should place his hand over the tefillin, so it doesn't see the Beis HaKisei. And he should complete going to the bathroom, and then he should leave. The Gemara, of course, has a hard time understanding that. Ad shi yigmor sagadaitach, he should use the bathroom with his tefillin on. So ella kidamar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak ad shi yigmor amar rishon. He should wait till the amar rishon of the gedolim come, and then he should remove his tefillin, and then he can finish using the bathroom. So the Gemara says, why would he wait till amar rishon? Why not take them off before he even goes to the beginning, to the bathroom in the beginning? V'lifsok le'alter v'leikim. Let him first remove the tefillin. He goes to the bathroom. He should realize he's wearing tefillin. He should stop, take off tefillin, and then use the bathroom. Why would he first achigmur amud harishon? And so the Gemara says, Mishuma, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer amud hachozer, mevi es adam lidei hadjokan. The person holds back from using the bathroom from amud harishon, it's going to be very dangerous for him, and it's going to lead to some stomach illness. So therefore, because of the bikuach nefesh, we say, wait, achigmur amud harishon before moving tefillin. And similarly, silon hachoz, a person needs to make ketanim, so maybe as adam lidei yirakon, one who holds back will lead a person to some type of illness as well, yirakon, which would cause his face to turn green. So because the danger at play here, we say ad shigmor es amud rishon before removing the tefillin. So Gemara is going to talk a lot about this inyan, the next staff, about tzoa, meraglaim, and erva, different things regarding tefillin and dvarim shebekedusha. So Gemara now says, itmar. Tzoa al besaro o yado munachas bebeis hakisei. Let's say there's some tzoa on a person's body, or his hand in a bathroom, in the window of a bathroom, but the rest of the body is outside the bathroom. So is he allowed to recite kriyashma in that state or not? So Rav Huna Amar Mutter lo likros kriyashma, he's allowed to, because even though his hand might be in the bathroom, the rest of his body, most of his body is outside the bathroom, or even though part of his body is has tzoa on it, the rest of the body doesn't have tzoa on it, and therefore Rav Huna thinks it's permitted. Rav Chist, on the other hand, Amar, Aser, Likros, Kriyashma, it's prohibited from reciting Kriyashma in such a situation. So Amar Rava says, my time at the Rav Huna, why does Rav Huna say it's permitted to say Shema if the hand's in the bathroom or if the soa on a small part of the body? The Chsivi says the Pasuk in Tilim, which tells us the last capital of Tilim, Koa Neshama to Halel Ka. Every neshama should pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. What that means is that if you look at Rashi, Rashi first now lying down, Kol neshama hapeh v'achotem bichlal ha'hilo v'lo shayvarm. Which part of the body prays Hashem? It's the nose and the mouth that that breathe, that are able to speak and make sound. So even though a person's hand might be dirtier in the bathroom, that has no impact on the body. All we care about is Kol neshama to halel ka. So then the Gemara says, Rav Chista Amar, Asa Likros Kriyashma. He says, no, you're not allowed to recite Shema, even though your mouth and nose are not in the bathroom, since one part of the body is, it's Asar Maitaima. The Rav Chista, he quotes a different pasuk until him, Dichsiva, Klatzmosai Tomarna Hashem Michamocha. All my bodies, David HaMelech said, all my bodies sing your praise. That means even the finger, even the foot might be dirty. That also is part of the Koach of Tefillah, Koach of Kriyashma. And therefore, Aser to write Shema is to recite Shema if any part of the body is in a makom that's Aser. The Yidam Achlok is how to paskin here, so it goes back and forth. The Sefer Eshkol, the quote, says, B'di'eved, if one did recite Shema in such a situation, one would be Yotze. Now, the Magen Rambam points out this all discussion only true if only a miut, only a minority of the body is in the bathroom. But let's say rove of the body is in the bathroom, then it would be Aser. This would be Aser even B'di'eved. Gemara now says Itmar. Reach ra sheyesh lo ikur. Let's say there's a reach ra that has an ikur, which means there's tzoa or some other source of that which is creating smell. You can have bad smell without there being a source. But let's say there's the ikur, there's the object, the tzoa, and there's also reach ra. So Rav Huna Amar, marchik arba amos, you have to distance yourself from the actual ikur, the actual tzoa, for amos, in order to recite Shema. The Kari Kriyashma there, once you distance four amos from the actual ikur, the actual tzoa, then you're allowed to recite Shema. Even though you might be smelling the bad ra, we don't care about the reach ra, we care about the davar ikur. Rav Chista Amar, Marchik Abra Amos, Mimakum Shepazak HaReach. He argues and says, no, You don't distance yourself from the tzoweh. You have to distance yourself from the reyach of the tzoweh, which is going to be even further than the tzoweh itself. And then he says, v'kare kriyashma. So the Gemara says, Tani kavase, there's a brayse that supports of Chista, who says you distance yourself from the reyach ra. Delo yikra adam kriyashma, a person should not recite shema, lo keneged tzoweh adam, lo keneged tzoweh klavim, lo keneged tzoweh chazuyirim, lo keneged tzoweh tanergolim. Regardless of what type of excrement, where it comes from, it's also to recite shema there. And v'lo keneged tzoweh ashba shereach ra, not from a garbage that smells bad. V'mhaya makum gavoa asar tfachim, o namuch asar tfachim. Let's say the tzoweh is in an area that's 10 tfachim above, or perhaps it's in a ditch 10 tfachim below. So then Yoshib would see the person could sit right next to that pit or right next to that ditch, because since the 10 tfachim is considered a separate rishus, that's not considered in the vicinity of the actual tzoa and kara kriyashma. Vimlav, if the tzoa is not situated 10 tfachim above or 10 tfachim below, then marchik mela onav, he has to distance himself from a distance he can't see the tzoa anymore. And that's not only true of Shema, it's also true of V'chein L'tfilah. One has to distance himself from the Tzoah or the Reach Ra. And then the Brisa continues to say, Reach Ra sheyeshul ikar. This is why we brought the Brisa. If there's a Reach Ra, a bad smell, that has its source from a Tzoah or an Ashba, Marachik arba amos mimakum ha-Reach. You have to distance from where the smell has stopped, and then Kare Kriyashma. So that's precisely what Rav Chista had said. How do we paskin? So Amar Rava, Rava says, less hilchasa kiamas nisa. We don't paskin like this braisa that says you have to stop from the reach ra. Elaki hatatanya from the following braisa. Lo yikra adam kriyashma. A person should not recite shema. Lo keneged tzos adam. Lo keneged tzos chazirim. Lo keneged tzos klavim. Bizman shenas an oros latochan. When he plays some leather in it, which makes it cause even worse of a smell. But all that is only separating from the actual tzoeh, not from the smell. So we paskin against Rav Chista. They have to separate from the ikr, not from the reach ra.
Why
did
they
put leather inside tzoeh? I have no idea. So then the Gemara says, they ask Rav Shesha the following shayla. Reach ra she'ain lo ikr. Let's say a reach ra, a bad smell that has no ikr. The source isn't there, the tzoeh isn't there, but there's a bad smell. Are you allowed to mahu? What's it? Are you allowed to recite kriyashma or any dvarim shibukadusha in the presence of a ruach ra? So before you go by, just as an example, Tosis points out here, the last Tosis or the small Tosis on the page here, reach rash ein lo ikar yesh mefarshim debate kisal shalanu. Our bathrooms nowadays, b'omek, there's a sewer system. So im yesh ben mechita mafsekes, if there's a something separating from the tzoh, which there is in our situations, and now back then their plumbing systems were certainly not as sophisticated as ours, but in the times of Tosfos, where there is a mechita of where the tzoh would go from the actual base of kisei, so havi kimo reach ra shein leikar. That would be an example where there's bad smell, but the tzoh is not there because the tzoh is behind some mechita. So certainly in our bathrooms, if our bathrooms were to smell bad, if there were to be the reach ra, it would be a reach ra shein lo ikar. So how to deal with our bathrooms, maybe we'll discuss in tomorrow's daf chavav, but for now that might be an example of a ruach ra with shein lo ikar. So what's the din of reciting Shema or Dvarim Shebekedusha in the presence of ruach ra shein lo ikar? So the Gemara answers, Amar Lahu, Asu Chazu Hane Tzipe Deberav. Go look at those people, these machatzels. They used to sleep in the base medrash, in the base medrash of Rav. They'd fall asleep sometimes on the machatzels, on the mats. They'd learn on mats. And Hani Gani, Vahani Garsi. So some of the Talmidim would fall asleep during Shir. Some of them, Garsi, would be learning during the Shir. And so sometimes when a person goes to sleep, there might be a reach ra, it might pass gas. There's a reach ra she'en la ikr. So even though there's a reach ra, so then the din was the other Talmidim who are awake and learning, they were allowed to learn, even though the guys sleeping were making a reach ra. Vahani Mila, this is all true, b'divrei Torah. This is all true, it's permitted to learn in the presence of reach ra. Aval b'kriyashma lo. When it comes to reciting Shema, it's usur to recite Shema in the presence of Reach Ra. And the Gemara says, even then, when we allow for Divrei Torah, it's only true Divrei Torah nami lo amrin ela b'dechavri, if it's a Reach Ra from another person. Aval didei own a person's own Reach Ra lo, you can't even learn Torah. But we see from this discussion that's usur to recite Shema in the presence of Reach Ra she'en lo ikar. As an aside, they point out from this discussion whether or not a person is allowed to sleep in the base medrash or not. So they bring from one of the the Gemara at the end of Megillah talk about the various praises of what the various tzaddikim would do, and one of them would say, I never slept in the Beis Medrash at all. Seemingly, that's a big Indian not to fall asleep in the Beis Medrash. But here the Gemara says that they would fall asleep in the Beis Medrash, so that gets to a discussion whether a person is allowed to sleep in the Beis Medrash or not. Is it Midas Chassidus or not Midas Chassidus to sleep in the Beis Medrash? But this is a clear ayah that Talmidim did fall asleep in the Beis Medrash. The Gemara now says, Itmar. Tsoa overis. Let's say you got tsoa that's moving. I don't know, you have a garbage truck moving, removing some type of sewage, and they're on the way. What's the din? Are you allowed to recite Shema in the presence of a moving tsoa? If you're in the presence of tsoa that's stationary, that's also. But let's say it's passing by, do you have to be mafsik yishma until the tsoa moves entirely? So the Gemara says that this is a machlokus amarorim, by amar mutar likros kriyashma, you're allowed to, and you don't have to stop from reciting Shema. Rava Amar also likros kriyashma, he says one's not allowed to recite Shema in the presence of a tsoa overa. So what's the machlokus? So Amar Bai, who is the one who says you're allowed to recite Shema, what's his basis? Mina Minulal, how does he know this, that you're allowed to say it? The Tzan, the Mishnah tells him, Maseches Nagam, a very different model, but it's an interesting proof. One could question whether or not this has what to do with each other. But the Mishnah says in the Maseches Nagam, Hatame, let's say there's a guy who's a Metzora. It's a Mishnah Nagam. So the guy is a Metzora. So he's now Ome Tachas Ilam. The Metzora is standing below the tree. Vatahor over. Now there's a guy whose Tahor is passing by. That guy is Tame, because there's a din of Tumas Ohel even by a Metzora. So we go based on if the source of Tumah is stationary. So even though the guy is passing by, the over, that Tahor was over underneath the tree, he's Tame because he's passed in the presence of a Metzora who's a Bekvius. Now the opposite case, let's say there's a Tahor guy who's Ome Tachas Ilam. A guy is Tahor who's standing below the tree. So the Tahor guy is stationary. And there's a Tame guy, a Metzora is passing by who's over. That din is the Tahor guy remains Tahor, because since the Makum Tumah, the source of Tumah, is moving, it never creates a Kavias, it can't be Matamed Ohel from the guy underneath the tree. So we always have to figure out whether the source of Tumah is stationary or not stationary. That's going to dictate whether or not there's going to be a transference of Tumah or not. Now, Vim Amar, let's say the Metzora stops, he's walking, and he takes a little pause for a couple seconds underneath the tree, and then he goes on his way. That then would also be Tame, because since there was a certain Kavias, even though it may not be for long, that would transmit Tuma. And the Mishnah says, not only true of a Metzora as a Gavra, V'chein be'evan ha'menugas, the same halachas would apply if a person were to be transporting a stone or rock that has Negatzeras, that would also depend on whether or not it stopped or stationary or not stationary. So too, just like by Tumah, Abai thinks the same would be true of reciting of Shema. If the Tsoa is a Bekvius, it's Koveya, that's also to recite Shema in its presence. But if it's over, then just like that which is Tame cannot be Matame a person, so too that which is Tsoa will not prohibit a person from reciting Kriya Shema. That's his model. Now certainly it's not a perfect equation, but at least serves as a model for that which is moving versus stationary to prove a din for reciting Kriya Shema. Comes along Rava. Rava Amar Rava says, Rava Amlecha Hasam over there, Bikvius Atalya Mil. So there, you can't bring a Raya, because by Tsaras, the transference of Tumah, transmitting of Tumah, has to do with Kvius. Dichtav it says in the Pasuk by Neged Tsaras, Badad Yashayev Michot Samachne Moshavo. He should sit. So all about Kvius, Mitzorah, Tumah's Neged Tsaras has everything to do with Kvius. But here, by Kriyashma, Hacha has nothing to do with Kriyashma. You could only recite Shema in the presence of a machane that's Kedusha. But here, in that instance, as the Davar Tzoa is passing by, it's not a Makom, it's not a machanecha Kadosh, and therefore it's Aser, nothing to do with Kavias. So the Gemara then says, Amar Papa, Rav Papa says, related halacha of that which is a transporting Tzoa, Pi Chazer Kitzoa Overes Dami. The mouth of a pig is like a moving Tzoa. It's as filthy as Tzoa, and therefore whatever psak you would have by reciting Shema in the presence of Tzoa Averis would be the same exact halacha for the chazer, if a pig's walking in front of you, whether you should continue to recite Shema or whether you should be mafsik. Mar Zipshita, of course, everyone knows the mouth of a pig is dirty, it's eating Tzoa, it's filthy. Of course it would have the same din as a Tzoa Averis. I think whereas it's not so clear, because there's a chiddush here, lo tzricha, af agav desalik minahara. But let's say the pig is coming up from a river. It just got bathed. So one might have thought maybe the mouth of the chazer in that instance may be clean, and you can recite Shema regardless. The Gemara says even after it's been clean, it has a halachic din of a Tsoa Elveris, regardless of how clean it is. So the Gemara now says, continuing on this conversation, Amr of Yehuda, Safek Tsoa Asura. Let's say you're not sure if there's Tsoa in a certain place or not, the din is Asur to recite Kriya Shema. Let's say Safek Meraglaim, you're not sure if there's Meraglaim in the presence, then Mutarim, then one would be allowed to recite Kriya Shema. Of course, because Tsoa is much more severe than Meraglaim. So then the Gemara says, Ikadamri, there are those who say, Am Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda had said, Safek Tsoa Babayis, not anywhere, but Dafkin the Bayis, if there's a Safek of this Tsoa there, then Mutaris, you're allowed to, because people don't leave Tsoa in the house. So if a Safek in the Bayis, it's safe to assume there's no Tsoa in the house. Be'ashva, the garbage, where people dispose of the Tsoa, and you're not sure if there's there's Tsoa there or not, then one would have to be Machmir, not Sura, it's also to recite Shema and the like in the presence of an Ashba. If it's a suffix, whether it's meraglayim, afilu ba'ashpa, even if it's in a garbage dump, nami mutarn, you're permitted, because again, meraglayim is a lesser level. So Gemara says, on this case of suffix meraglayim, savrla ki ahi d'Rav Hamnuna. The Gemara explains that he, Rav Yehuda, holds like Rav Hamnuna, dam Rav Hamnuna, lo asa Torah ella keneged amud bilvad. When we say it's asa to recite Torah or Shema in the presence of a meraglaim, it's only true when it's amud, when the person's actually making meraglaim, during the, when the guy's urinating, is it asa. But could there be Yonason rather? Rabbi Yonason Rami Ksivi asked the kash of two different psukim. One pasuk says, V'yad tielacha michutz l'machaneh. When a person has to distance himself from any tzoa, he has to just step away. But Ksiv, another pasuk says, you should have something like a shovel, and you have to cover it up. So how come one pasuk says you have to just distance yourself, and the other pasuk says you have to cover it, and it's more machmir? How do you deal with the two cases? So Rabbi Yonasan says, kan begedolim, kan begtanim. Like gedolim, you have to cover it up in order to say Shema, and meraglaim, you have to just distance yourself. So we see, certainly, Alma, ketanim lo asa Torah, el keneged amud bilvad. It's only asa to recite Shema and learn Torah in the presence of when the guy's actually urinating. Is it asa? But ha nafal ar, but it falls to the ground, it's shari, it's permitted on a deraisa level. And Rabbanan hu the gazer, but Rabbanan just made a gzeira that a person shouldn't even recite in the presence of meraglaim on the ground, lest the person come to recite it in the presence of a guy actually urinating. V'chi gazu b'Rabban, when the Rabbanan assert, only b'vadan, only if there's a meraglaim b'vada in front of you, they say you can't recite Shema in front of the meraglaim. Aval b'sfeikam, when it's a case of a savik, whether the meraglaim's there or not there, lo gazu Rabban never made such a gzeira. And that's why, back to the beginning, when Rav Yehuda said, Savek Meraglaim Mutter Likros Kriyashma, that's based on this whole Shakalataria, that Meraglaim in the first place is only Asim Adiraisa when a guy's actually urinating. But when it's on the floor, it's only Dirabanan, but when it's a Safek, the Gzera was never put in place.
You're saying that with the Rabbanan, let's say we had learned that if your person's davening, and he's doing Meraglaim, so then you...
That's on the person's body, though. That's in a person's body, it said, that Gemara.
And
this is not on the floor. Ubevadon, when it's a case of, when it's vadai, meraglayim there, ad kama. So at what point, you know, a guy urinates on the floor. So at what point is it permitted? Is it usher now in that makom forever? There must be a certain, you know, time or situation where that meraglayim kind of disappears, and now it's permitted to daven there. So ad kama, how long are we willing to say it's usher to daven in the presence of meraglayim? So Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kozman Shimat Pichim. So long as it's still moist, would it be usher to daven in the presence? But the moment it gets dry, then you're allowed to daven in the place of the meraglayim. V'chein Amar Rabba Bar Barchana Amar of Yochanan, Kozman Shimat Pichim. So long as it's moist, he says the same thing. V'chein Amar Ula, Kozman Shimat Pichim. Ugeniva, who's the name of a certain Adam in that time, there's some interesting stories about him. In the Gemara Gittin, Mashmei de Rav, quoted the name of Rav Amar, Kozman Sherishum Menikur. As long as when Meraglaim makes lines, marks in the ground, so as long as the marks are still apparent, that's when it's usher. But the moment the dirt now becomes back to normal and flat, then you'd be allowed to. So Geneva gives a completely different criteria than what we mentioned before. So Amar Rav Yosef, says, Sharula Mara, you could permit what Geneva said. We don't trust what he said. He's telling you a false statement in the name of Rav, because Hashta, now if we already know, everybody agrees, Tsoa, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, then in the name of Rav, when it comes to Tsoa, Kevin Shekarmu Paneh, the moment the toe begins to dry up, so then it's mutter, Merglaim Mibai, so certainly when it dries up as well by Merglaim. The understanding here is that even after Merglaim dry up, the Rishimum, the different markers on the ground still remain. It's more of a Chumrah. So if we say that the Toa that dries up is permitted, certainly Merglaim that dries up should be permitted to say Shema in front of. To have to wait till the Rishumim are no longer Niker, that's a big Chumrah, and we don't trust Gneva in this quotation from Rav. So Amrle Abai, Abai says, why not? Why is it such a crazy thing to say? My chazis desam chazaha, why are we trusting that which he said in the name of Rav, that the Tsoe sheyav shepaneh is mutter? Samachaha, there's another statement that we have in the name of Rav, Dama Rava Barbar Revhuna, Amarav, Tsoe afilu kacheres asura. Even if the Tsoe gets so dry, like earthenware, like pottery, like kacheres, even that's asur. So we have different statements in the name of Rav. So just like we have different statements in terms of how dry Tsoe has to be to permit reciting Shema, we could also have two different positions, what Rav held, about Meir Glaim. So why is it such a crazy thing that Gneva said that calls Man Shavishimum Nikr? So Gemara says, Hey Chidam, let's understand, what does it mean, Tsoa Kecheres? That's as dry as pottery, and still also to recite Shema. So Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Yochanan, calls Man Shizorka. Whenever, if you want me to throw a piece of Tsoa that's dry, Veinu Nefrechas, and it doesn't break up, it doesn't fall into different pieces, so that's a simon that's still moist and usr. But if it's going to be nifrechas, if it's going to crack, that's permitted to recite Shema in its presence. Vikdami, others say, Kolzman Shigola, if you roll it on the ground, vein nifrechas, and doesn't crack, that's indication that's still moist, not dry enough. So these are different indicators of how dry it has to be. Okay? Either way, we have a discussion how far, at what point does Meir Glaim become murta to recite Shema in its presence. So Gemara says, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Hava kamina kame de Rav Yehuda, midifte. I was once standing in front of Rav Yehuda, and Chazi, I saw a tsoa. Amar Li, he says to me, Ayin I karmupana ilo. Go analyze the tsoa, and tell me when it started to like change color a little bit. It started to dry up. Let me know if it's dry, and we can recite Shema, or we can't. Ikadami, some say, Hachi Amar Elu. He said it a little bit differently, that Ayin I mifle aplui. Go see if it starts, there's some cracks on the outside of the tsoa, which would be a different indicator whether or not it's dry enough to allow for reciting Shema or not. So my havelay, in the end of the day, what's the bottom line? How do we paskin regarding saying Shema in the presence of tsoa sheyavsha? So itmar, this is machlokes, that tsoa kecheres, that when it comes to tsoa that's dry like cheres, ameima amar atzura, you still can't recite Shema or daven in its presence. Umar zutra amar mutars, you're allowed to. So Amar Rava, Rava says, hilchasa, the bottom line is, tsoa kecheres asura. How Meir Glaim, Kozman Shemat Pichin is also Asura. So it asks Gemara now, on this last psak, that Meir Glaim, that's the Mat Pichin, it's Asur, but if it's the Yveshim, it's Mutter, Meisveh, the Gemara asks the question, Meir Glaim, Kozman Shemat Pichin Asur, and so long as it's still wet, it's Asur. Nivlu, let's say that it's absorbed in the ground, O Yavshur, it dried up somehow, so then it evaporated, then it's Mutarin. So my Lav Nivlu, Dumudiyavshu. So when it says that it's absorbed in the ground, is it not similar to like it being dried? Ma yavshu ein rishumun nikr af nivlu dein rishumun nikr. So just like when it dries up, you don't see the rishumun. There's no remnants left over. Everything's been evaporated. So to when we say it gets absorbed in the ground, is it also not a situation where the rishumun, there's no remnants left either? And harushumanikar, but if it is recognizable, then aser afagav dein matpichan. It's aser even though it hasn't, it's not wet anymore. Doesn't this brisa serve as a raya for geneva that rishumim nikar is what's going to dictate the allowance of reciting shema or not? So Gemara says l'tameh, according to your reasoning.
I'm sorry, it's comparing miraglaim to miraglaim, or it's comparing
miraglaim to miraglaim. Exactly. One's yavshu, one's nivlu.
So what's the difference between yavshu?
Yavshu dried up, it gets absorbed. I mean, it gets evaporated,
it's
and nivlu gets absorbed.
It's a hard floor that doesn't absorb.
Not necessarily. It could be hot out. No, if dirt. So dirt, it can either get absorbed, it can get evaporated by the heat, or it can get absorbed in the ground.
But you cannot tell that. I mean, once it's over, it's over. You don't know if it was absorbed or.
Well, whichever way, either way.
Unless you're dealing with
either way, it doesn't make a difference. But when it gets dried up, though, it's certainly the rishum are not nicker. And when it gets absorbed,
more.
So then the Gemara says, so according to the Svara, Eimer Reisha, Latamech Eimer Reisha, look at the Reisha of this Braisa that says, Kol Zman Shemat Pichin Hud Aser. Whenever the Merglaim is still wet, it's Aser. Har Rishumim Nikr Shar. But if it's not wet, if it's dried, even though Rishumim are Nikr, it's permitted. So we have from the Reisha that Rishumim do not dictate the heter. So elamaha lekel mashmet mine. Since you can have opposite conclusions from the reish and the seifa with respect to whether rishumim nicker or not nicker, we cannot make any conclusion from the brisa, and we throw it out. Okay, so we have no kasha or raya for the position of rishumim nicker or not. We have either matpichin about being wet or not wet, or rishumim nicker being recognizable or not recognizable. So Gemara says, lema ketanai. Let's say this discussion is really a machlokas tanaim about how dry or nicker the meir glam has to be. It says, kli shenishpichu mimenu meir glam. You have a kli that, well, it's late. We haven't finished on Beis yet. You have a kli that you've poured meir glam from it, which is some type of container, which they would make ketanim in. So you pour it out, it's empty. Even though it's empty, aser likros kriashma kenegdo. That's considered a davar tsoa, and you can't recite shema in its presence, even though there's no actual meraglaim. Umeraglaim atman shenishpichu. Meraglaim itself that had spilled onto the floor, nivlu, if it's absorbed in the ground, mutter. Lo nivlu, if it wasn't absorbed in the ground, aser. Okay? Rabbi Yossi omer kol zman shematpichin, whenever it was, as long as it's wet. So what's machlokas? Rabbi Yossi says about being wet, and Tanakama holds whether it's a nivlu or not livnu. So let's understand, what does nivlu mean? My nivlu, what does it mean to be absorbed in the ground? My lo nivlu. The Kamar Tanakama, that which the Tanakama says, Ilema Nivlu de Matpichim, when it gets absorbed, it's another way of saying it's not wet anymore. And Lo Nivlu, if it wasn't absorbed, that's the Matpichim, that means it's still wet. The Aser Biosi, Lemaymar, Rabbi Yossi says, Kozman Shematpichim, who the Aser, as long as it's still wet, it's Aser, Harishuman Nicker, but if it's Rishuman Nicker, it's still permitted, Hainu Tanakama. We can't say Nivlu is about Matpichim or not Matpichim, that's the same as Rabbi Yossi. They can't be saying the same thing. Ella, is it not that the Rabbi Yossi says matpichin, and Tanakam, who use the word nivlu, they really mean, nivlu means ein rishuman nikr. If it gets absorbed, there's no remnants left of the meraglayim, and lo nivlu, if it wasn't absorbed, means even though it was dry, rishumim are nikr. So we see this machlokas between Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi is whether we go based on rishumim, or do we go based on matpichin. Vaser biyosi lemeimar kol zman shematpichin hud aser, as long as it's wet it's aser, but ha rishuman nikar, but if it's dry, even though rishuman or nikar, it's actually shari according to Rabbi Yossi. So this machlok is between Geneva, and the other quoting Rav is machlok is between Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama. And the Gemara responds back here in the very end of the Amud Aleph here, love, not true. The Chuliyam, everyone agrees that kol zman shematpichin hud aser, if it's long, as long as it's still wet, it's aser. Ha rishuman nikar, if it's dry, even though rishumim are nicker, it's permitted shari. And what's the machlokas? V'hacha b'tofeach amnas latpiach ikabunayah. The nafka means how wet it has to be. Some things are wet. This is a definition used oftentimes by the Gemara, that if it's wet enough that one were to touch it, and now the finger is wet enough to touch something else and make that wet, that's called tofeach amnas latpiach. So one opinion holds it has to be wet enough to be able to get something else wet. And the other one says, no, as long as my finger will get wet, even though it won't be wet enough to wet something else, that's sufficient grounds to be matpichin. So how wet does it have to be considered meraglaim? That is the machlokas. So Rashi just points out who says which way. Rashi, in the very top of Chaf Hei, Rebbe, says, B'tofeach amnas latpiach ikbenayu, Tanakama boy amnas latpiach, has to be wet enough where it could get something else wet. And Rabbi Yossi is machmir, even if it's not wet enough to get something else wet, that's still wet enough to be considered may reglaim. Two lines down now, the two dots, the Gemara says. Yar litbal, the guy goes to the mikvah, and then he realizes that the sun is about to rise. He wants to recite Shema. Im yachal alas, if he could get up and cover himself properly and recite Shema, he should do so with Netzachama. If he can't, he should cover himself in the water and recite Shema at Netzachama. So Gemara says, why is he rushing to say Shema? We have 3 hours to say Shema. What's his urgency? So Gemara says, Lema Tana Stama, this Tana Stama, this Stamishna must be like Rabbi Eliezer. Damar Adne Netzachama. He has, when the last time you could say Shema is at Netz. There's one time to say it. Netz. And not before, not afterwards, and must be, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, if you miss Nate, you miss Shema. So Gemara says, no. Afilu tamer Rabbi Yeshua. Even according to Rabbi Yeshua, it says you have 3 hours to recite Shema, there still is a certain level of urgency to get it in, because Dilma Kivasikin, he wants to be like the Vasikin, like the Tzadikim, who would say, Dafka Netzachama, Damar Rabbi Yochanan Vasikin, how you gomen osa ima Netzachama. Now, even though he would have missed it, he could still have 3 hours to say Shema afterwards. He was trying to be machmir like the Vasikin, and that's why he was trying to chapin the Shema. Vimlav, if a person didn't have the right amount of enough time to get out of the mikvah and to get dressed, so then he said, Yiskasa b'mayim v'yikre. He should cover himself up with the water, and he should recite Shema. So Gemara says, wait a second. V'harei libo roes erva. But now, if he's below, granted, I can't see makom erva, my head's above the water, I can't see below the water. But my lave, the heart, the guy's heart could see the makom erva, and the guy's heart sees the makom erva, that's us. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Vitema Rabbi Acha Bar Abba Bar Acha Mishum Rabbeinu B'mayim Achrum Shani. We're talking about where the water's dirty. We're not talking about a pool or a mikvah. The guy walks into a lake. So there's the dirt. It's muddy. You can't see even the makam erva. The lave can't see the makam erva. It's a dirty water. The damu kara smicht. It's like muddy water where it's very thick, where you can't see lo yeru libo erva. So where the heart cannot see the makam erva. No, someone actually, the lathe seeing it. Someone the lathe actually, the ability to see it, yeah. It has to be a hefsek. There has to be a hefsek between the heart and the makom erva.
So it's not seeing.
No, but they're built by the...
It's a spiritual meaning.
But it's physically, though, it has to talk about. Even though spiritually, physically, the lathe cannot have exposure to the makom erva. That's the din. So Tanur Ban, the Brisa says, Vaitin ma'im tzulum, if it's water that's clear, then yeshi behen ad tzavaro v'kare. A person should sit with his, below his neck, the water up until his neck, and he should recite Shema. And v'yesh omrim ochen b'ragla. One said he should kick his feet up with the dirt to create dirt in the water, so his lave shouldn't see the makom erva. So what are the Tanakama? The Tanakama says as long as your head's above the water, it's fine. But Tanakama, harei libo roas erva. But doesn't the heart see the erva? Kesavar libo roas erva muter. They hold, the Tanakama holds that the lave is allowed to see the makom erva. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So granted, the lave's allowed to see the makom erva. But hare akevo roes erva. But doesn't his heel see the makom erva? So the Mefarshim point out here. So even though my lave is allowed to see the erva, my akev can't. Why not? Because the lave, physically, the anatomy, the lave doesn't see the erva directly. There's a hefsek. But the heel, the bottom of the foot, or at least the back of the foot, can see the makom erva because of the way it's situated. So although one might hold the libo can be roas erva because it doesn't really see the erva, the akevo, that part of the body, can see the makom erva. So the Gemara says, kasavar, he also holds akevo roas erva mutter. That this opinion holds, this Tanakam holds, any part of the body can see the makom erva. As long as you don't see it, other parts of the body can see it, and therefore it's permitted. While other opinions feel that no, that the lave shouldn't see it, and therefore you have to kick up some dirt to ensure that there's no visual between the lave and the makom erva. So Gemara now says, Itmar, there's a machlokes, akeva rasa erva mutter, and what if the akev, if the end of the back of the foot sees the erva, it's permitted to recite Shema. But no geya, if let's say the akev is touching the makom erva, the guy is sitting in a, I don't know, Indian style of some sort, where the akev is touching the makom erva, that abaye amar is aser, and Rava Amar, it's Mutter. That's also Machlokas. So Rav Zvid Masi Leila Hashmaisa Hachi, he taught it as follows. Rav Chanina, that's how, the way we just presented it, that's how Rav Zvid taught it. Rav Chanina, Braid Rav Ika Masi Leila Hachi, he taught it slightly differently, that Nogeya Divriya Kol Asr. Everybody agrees if the Akevo is touching the Makom Erva, everyone agrees it's Asr. Roa, if the Akevo sees the Makom Erva, Abai Amar Asr, Rav Amar Mutter, Lo Nitna Torah L'malcha Yashar. He said, why is it Mutter? Because we're not malachim. To make sure every part of the skin, part of the body doesn't see the makom erva, we can't help with that. And therefore, since we're not malachim, we allow, even though the akevo might see the makom erva. How do we paskin in the end of the day? Hilchasa, no geyas aser. If the akev is touching the makom erva, it's aser to recite Shema. Roa, if the akev sees the erva, the din is mutter to recite Shema. Fine. Gemara now says, Amarava, tsoa ba'ashashis, Mutter lekrosa kriyashma kineg. Let's say you have tzoa that's covered up, but it's in a glass bottle where you could see that tzoa, that's permitted because we don't care about seeing tzoa, we care about smelling tzoa, being in the presence of tzoa. Aval erva shabashash, if there's a makom erva that one could see through a glass window or glasses, also lekrosa kriyashma kineg. You can't recite shema. Why? Tzoa bashash is mutter lekrosa kriyashma kineg. Tzoa bekisa talya milsa. When it comes to tzoa, it all depends whether it's covered or not covered. So even though it's transparent, still, it's covered. When it comes to ha-michse, in the end of the day, it's covered, therefore you can recite Shema. But erva, ba-shashis, is also the kros kriyashma, connected. You can't recite Shema when you could see it, because lo yira b'cha ervas davar amrachmana, it's dependent on seeing v'ha kimischazia. This becomes a very important source for whether or not you could perform certain mitzvahs with glasses, seeing, kiddush levana or kiddush chodesh through glasses, whether or not that works. One interesting question, we really don't have any time for this, but chalitza, when the rabban have to see the chalitza, the spitting from the lady to the man, they discuss whether or not these kainim are allowed to wear glass or not, because they have to actually see the saliva have a go from her to him. So they talk about this Gemara as a raya. But let's go Vaita because we're really running out of time.
They don't wear glasses, they don't see anything anyway.
That's part of the discussion. So Amar Baye says, Tzoa kosher, a person is a small amount of Tzoa, Mivatla Baroque, you could spit on it, and now you're Mivatil the Tzoa by spitting a little bit on it. Amar Rava, but it's not just any Roke, it's a Roke Ava. It has to be a thick saliva, some mucus maybe. I don't know how you define Roke Ava, but something thick that's going to cover it up. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Tzoa Baguma, let's say there's a Tzoa in a hole, a ditch. Maniach sandal aleh, you can place your sandal, your shoe over it, cover it up. V'kara kriyashma, because it all depends on it being covered or not being covered. Baibar bre diravina, tsoa divuka besandal. Let's say there's tsoa stuck to the bottom of your shoe. My, what's a din? Do we say that the sandal is a hefsek, it's a chatzitza? Or do we consider the shoe as attached to yourself, and now you're actually having tsoa on your body? The Gemara says, take it, we don't have an answer for that shayla. We didn't say on the beggar, no. Let's go. Let's do it after because it's late. We only have 3 minutes left. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Ovid Kochavim Arum. If there's a goy who's not dressed properly, also likros kriyashma kinegda. You can't recite shema cross from such a goy. My area. So why dafka a goy? Ovid Kochavim. I feel Yisrael nami. If there's a Yisrael who's also Arum, you can't recite shema in his presence. So Yisrael pshitalei. We know for sure in front of a yid you can't say shema who's not dressed properly. The also. Al Ovid Kochavim itzrichle the chiddush by a goy. Now the same. What would you have thought? Holy ksid behut, since it says asher besar chamor besarim, that their flesh is like the flesh of a chamor, ema kechamor ba'amahu, and therefore it shouldn't have a din of erva. Kamash milan inu nami ikri erva. Goyim are also called the erva. Dichseva the ervas aviem la rau with respect to Noah. So then the Gemara says, "Lois kasel b'mayim arayim of lo b'mayim mishra ad shi'ati l'tochamayim." A person cannot recite Shema in the presence of water that smells bad, and until you pour some water in it and then you dilute it, then you're allowed to. So kamamaya rami v'al. So how much water do you have to throw into the mayim sruchim to make a bato? El hachi kamar lo yis kasel lo b'mayim haram lo b'mayim mishra klal. Person should not cover himself up in the smelly water. U'meraglayim ad shi'ati l'tochamayim v'yikra. So what we're saying from here is you can't be mavatil mayim suchim. It's too much. We're talking about you mayim suchim, you can never go in, and mayim mishra, which also smells, you can't go in. But if there's meraglayim, then by pouring a little bit of water on it by diluting it, that will allow you to recite Shema in its presence. So Tanur Rabban, the Baraita says, Kama yatil l'tocha mayim, how much water should you put in to the meraglayim? Kol shu, even a small amount of water will dilute the meraglayim. Well, Rabbi Zakai Omer, revis. You need a revis of water to dilute the mayim, the meraglayim. So Amr Rav Nachman, says, Machlokes l'basof, this is all true in the end. After there's meraglayim on the floor, then how much water should you put in? But Abba B'tchila, to preempt it, so then kol shu, meaning if a guy's about to make meraglayim, if you pour water on the ground first, and then a guy urinates into that water, then even a kol shu of water will be mevatel the meraglayim. So Rav Yosef Amar, Machlokes l'chachila, he says, no, they argue about l'chachila, how much water to put in initially to preempt it. Aval levasof, in the end, how much water to put after the meraglayim there, that everybody agrees, divya kol is revius. So Amalei Rav Yosef l'shamaya, he said to his assistant, Aishilei revias demaya, and bring me a revius of water, that's talking about tchila, ki Rabbi Zakai, that in the tchila, you have to pour a revius of water before using the bathroom in order to be mevatel. The Tanur Bar Baraisa says, wow, this is a long daf. Graf shari'i, if you have a container, a toilet of some sort, a movable toilet that has that's designated for tzoeh, the obit meraglayim or some other type of kli that was used for meraglayim, even though they're both clean, also likros kriyashma kinegdim, you can't recite shema in the presence of either one. Aval pish ein bein klum, even though they're completely empty. Meraglayim atzman, if there's actual meraglayim, ad shiyatu l'tochen mayim, you have to pour some water. V'kam yital l'tochen mayim, how much kol shu in Reb Zakeh Omer revius. So then the Gemara says, bein l'fnei amita, bein l'achar amita. We're almost there, guys. Okay, we're still good, I think. Okay, bein lefnei amita, bein la'achar amita. So let's say you can't recite Shema in these kalim of an avit or some sort that are miuchad for tzoa or meraglayim. So whether or not it's placed in front of the bed and there's no hafsik between you and the bed, or bein la'achar amita, or let's say it's placed behind the bed where you're mafsik, the bed mafsik between you and this kli, you can't recite it across the board, whether there's a hafsik or no hafsik of the bed. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, la'achar mita, let's say it's behind the mita, where there is a hefsek between you and the kli, then kore, you're allowed to, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Lifnei mita, but if it's in front of the bed, where there's no hefsek between you and the bed, then ain't a kore, that you're not allowed to. But what you can do, if there's no hefsek, of amarchik hu arba amos, the kore, you can distance yourself from the kli, and then recite Shema. So it comes along the third opinion, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Afilu bebayis mea ama, even if the house is huge, 100 amos, and you're at one corner and the kli is in the other corner, lo yikra ad shiyotziam o shianicham etachas amita. You cannot recite Shema until you take it out of the house or until you place it underneath the bed where it's considered covered. So Yibayilu, the Gemara wants to know, heichi kamar, how exactly did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say a statement? He's the second opinion here. Did he say achar mita kar miyad, that if you're between the, if there's a bed between you and the kli, you could say it right away, and there's no need to be mafsik at all? Lifnei mita, but if you're in front of the bed where there's no hefsek marchik arba amos v'kar, you have to have a distance between you and the kli dal amos. Odilma, perhaps hachi kamar. Maybe he was saying lachar mita, if you're behind the mita, there's a hefsek, you have to also be marchik arba amos v'kar. In addition to the chatita, you also need to have dal amos separation. But lifnei mita, if you're in front of the mita and there's no hefsek, Eino korekla, you can't read at all. So Tashma, the bringer Raya, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Achar Mita, if you're behind the Mita where there's a Hefsek, Kor Miyad, you can read right away. Lefnei Mita, Marcha Garba Amos, that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Afil Bebayis Mea Amos, even there's 100 Amos in the house, Lo Yikra Ad Shiyotziam O Shianichim Tachas Mita. So now here, if you pay attention, we just switched what Rabbi Shimon Elazar said and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to what they said in the previous Brisa. Who says Bayis Mali Amma and who said the Mita is a Hefsek? So Gemara says, "Bain of Shittel," and we answer the question that you're able to recite it behind the mita without Dal Amos, but Masisa Kasha Hadade, where there's a confusion, who says which way? So the Gemara says, "Ipich Brasraisa," let's switch around the second Brisa to make everything consistent. So Gemara says, "Why are you switching around the second Brisa? My Chazes Da'apches Basraisa, Ipich Kmaisa," let's switch around the first Brisa. And the Gemara says, because man shmasa da'amar l'kula bayis kar ba'amos dami, who's the one who says in general that the whole house is like four amos? That we know is the position of Rebbe Shimon Elazar he, and since we have such a mesora, that's why we wanted to switch around the second Brisa.
The Gemara is shorter if you want to.
Okay, that's the idea. So let's stop here, and Mir Hashem, we'll pick up from this point tomorrow then.
Why?